Are there legal questions raised by Michael Wolff's new book, Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House, and the president's reaction to it? As we told you yesterday, Trump's lawyer, Charles Harder, issued a cease and desist letter to Wolff and his publisher alleging libel. They reacted by putting the book out today, 4 days early. Harder also issued a cease and desist letter to former chief strategist Steve Bannon, who's often quoted in the book, including his opinion that Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian lawyer was treasonous. The letter says Bannon violated a non-disclosure agreement he'd signed when he joined the Trump campaign. Bannon is threatening a countersuit. Meanwhile, a New York Times report today says that President Trump ordered his White House counsel, Donald McGahn, to lobby Attorney General Jeff Sessions to stay on his department's Russia investigation, despite his having undisclosed contacts with the Russian ambassador. Sessions recused himself anyway, and the paper says the president fumed that he needed his AG to protect him the way he believed Robert Kennedy protected his brother JFK or Eric Holder protected Barack Obama. Jonathan Turley, professor at George Washington University's Law School, joins us to help us out here. Jonathan, start with the New York Times account of Trump's belief that the role of the AG is to protect the president. Is it?
Well, it's a very troubling account. I was one of the early voices saying that Jeff Sessions should recuse himself, and I believe he made the right decision. And indeed, the irony is that he made a decision that was in the best interest not only of the Department of Justice, but of President Trump. But what's particularly troubling is the account that the president even asked, where's my Roy Cohen, after one of the most disreputable figures in the legal field.
Well, let's jump in to remind people, you know, Roy Cohen was the former aide to Senator Joseph McCarthy during the, you know, horrendous chapter in American history of the Red Scare and McCarthy's witch hunt of people he believed to be communist, Roy Cohen, his right-hand man. Roy Cohen, also a mentor to a young Donald Trump.
Yes, and it's an unfortunate association because Cohen is viewed by most lawyers as being this rather dark figure, somebody who mixed politics and law and largely yielded to the former over the latter. Eric Holder has been criticized by many, including myself, for a very political tenure at the Justice Department. Donald Trump actually criticized Eric Holder and his role in protecting Barack Obama during various controversies. So it's particularly curious that he would be calling for Sessions to model himself after Eric Holder, if in fact that happened.
Well, let me ask you, though, is there anything legal here? I mean, it might be improper to push for your counsel to get Jeff Sessions not to recuse himself, but are there any legal questions?
Well, it does raise legal questions. For people who believe that the president wanted to obstruct the investigation into Russian collusion, this is certainly going to support that narrative. It also raises serious questions about the role of the White House counsel. Most lawyers, put in a position of McGahn at that moment, would have declined and would have explained that it would be very troubling for the White House counsel to go to an attorney general and try to get him not to recuse himself for ethical reasons. So it raises more questions about whether the White House counsel is maintaining these bright lines. The failure to respect those lines has cost the administration and President Trump dearly. You know, it is doubtful that we would still have this investigation if the president did not commit the untimely firing of James Comey.
Well, this seems to back up Comey's claim that the president asked for his loyalty.
Yeah, it would certainly support that type of narrative. Now, none of this means that the president committed a crime. You know, President Trump has long used litigation as an extension of business. He employs an army of lawyers who have often gone to court as part of his business strategy. That's not a particularly good training for a president who has to avoid legal conflicts. So in many ways, this moment could be a reflection of Donald Trump, the businessman.
Well, what about with the book? As we said, President Trump claiming the author, Michael Wolff, didn't have access to the White House. The book obviously seemed to show otherwise, and Wolf says he has tapes, but there's this cease and desist, which the publishing company is not only ignoring, they're using it to advance the sale of their books, moving it up to today. Any legal standing there?
Well, there's two separate questions here. One is whether the president could ever have succeeded in a prior restraint preventing the book from being published. On that question, the answer is clear. No. He doesn't even come close to the standard laid out by the Supreme Court. The second threat was that he could sue the author or Steve Bannon for defamation. That is not particularly compelling. The reason is that the president is a public official, and under the New York Times versus Sullivan standard, he is subject to a much higher standard than average citizens. So he would have to prove that either they knew that material was false or they showed a reckless disregard of the truth. That's very doubtful that he could ever maintain that in court.
He's got a pretty good lawyer, though. He's got Charles Harder, who represented Hulk Hogan and won that lawsuit against Gawker, and represented Melania Trump in her successful libel suit against the Daily Mail.
Well, Harder is a very good lawyer. I'm not too sure this was a particularly good legal move. Now, he may have been really sending a shot across the bow for Bannon. He doesn't know what's in the book, and this is putting him on notice that if they go ahead and publish, they do so with knowledge that there's a claim of falsity. But it comes at a cost. He could not have created worse optics for his client.
Well, what about the claim that Bannon violated an employment agreement, the non-disclosure agreement, which we heard so much about during the sexual harassment claims? Here he's being accused of violating that. Will that stand up?
The most that Bannon would face would be likely a denial of a future clearance, which it probably doesn't weigh heavily on his mind. Most of us don't think he's on the short list of a Trump appointment.
You mean a security clearance?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And otherwise, there's not a lot that can be done.
What about Bannon's comments about the Russia meeting that Donald Trump Jr. had in Trump Tower, that it was treasonous, but also that he felt that the Russia investigation was going to be largely about money laundering, naming a bank? Does this put Bannon in the position of knowing something that, you know, he might be called forth on?
Well, he very well could be called as a witness in case he heard any statements made that were incriminating or has any additional information. He was certainly in the inner circle for Donald Trump, but his views of what is treasonous are wildly out of sync with the law. And there's no evidence that that meeting was treasonous. People who are arguing treason are really allowing their emotions to get ahead of their analysis. What is probably true is that financial issues will continue to loom largely in the investigation. We've already seen that with Paul Manafort and his associate Gates. Their indictment is largely unrelated to the campaign and deals with transactional crimes.
Yeah, you're a lawyer. What would you tell President Trump?
Well, I think that the advice for President Trump hasn't changed. It's just that it hasn't been heard. And that is, he has to realize that it is better for him not to be involved. And that's really difficult for Donald Trump. I think people too often assume that his actions are incriminating, that they reflect some underlying criminality. That may not be the case. Donald Trump made his career by being this type A personality who goes and manages problems, who injects himself, who through power of personality changes the course of business deals. It's hard to get a client like that to accept that it's better at times to remove yourself. And he may have learned that lesson. Many of these allegations, including the most recent ones, occur in that early period when he became president. And it was a sharp learning curve, and it has cost him dearly. But he may have learned that there is a difference between a CEO and a president.
Jonathan Turley, professor at George Washington University's Law School. Jonathan, thank you.
It was a great pleasure, Robin.